You know, we had a little party here at KNX last night, a little Halloween celebration. Had lots of apples, oranges, all sorts of good things to eat. But here is a leftover lemon from Trick or Treat, Steve Allen.
What am I laughing at? I wonder who they're talking about. Leftover lemon. Whoops. I just picked up a bag here and slammed it down on the piano. That's very dangerous. I never know what might be in there. An old light bulb or something. I'll get back to that in a minute. First, I want to say hello, everybody. Yes, dance. I'm fortunate to be able to say hello. I'm very tired the last few days now that the afternoon thing has started. I've gotten back into my old habit that I was in before I left on vacation of falling asleep on the couch in the evening. You can see the wrinkles. I mean, I sleep in the front room. You can't get undressed. People are coming in saying, ooh, television. You know, if I'm there in my pajamas. If I'm there in my pajamas, they're nervous. I am, too. They're old pajamas. But it doesn't work out well. So I have to, no individual laughter, please. And I have to work together on this thing all the way through. I have blueprints of every joke available for 10 cents apiece. Anyway, what? What was I talking about? Let me see. I was standing here opening. Oh, yeah. I was asleep on the couch. I'm tired. That's what I was getting at. I'm so tired I can't remember. But I have had to go back to my former habit, as I said, of taking a little nap after dinner on the couch in the front room. And my mind has been sort of a turmoil. I've been having all sorts of horrible dreams. I had a very frightening dream early this evening. I dreamed I was on a lonely island in the Pacific, surrounded by girls. Don't laugh. I dreamed I was a girl, too, you see. You know how those things happen. Let's start the program, Joe. As I've often said, I've come close to stopping it. Play the theme, and then we'll see what happens, huh?
People call him Laughing Boy. He's always got a smile on his face. And just because he's Laughing Boy, the folks invite him out every place. Never seems to have a care. They call him character. They call him clown. He's always got...
Good. Thank you very much, Hoagie, and good night. That's the only part of the show that Hoagie listens to. He's in bed right now. Anyway, hello, more or less. This is Steve Allen, the Square from Columbia, speaking to you from Columbia Square in Hollywood, and inviting you to stick around and get stuck with... Another 55 minutes, so you know what to expect. I don't have to go through this thing every night. I'm just looking at a big box that's on the stage here. It might hold an automobile tire for a midget racer. It's about that size. It's hard to say what it is. And on top it says, caution. Over one side is written, danger. Over here there's a skull and crossbones. And it says, beware. Wonder what's in here. Mabel Steiner? What could be in here? I'm opening it. Oh, isn't that nice? My button has just come through here. I've been trying to get into an organization for quite some time. They've just sent me my... I can put this on my lapel. Car Strippers Incorporated. Isn't that... there it is. It's a great big hubcap. And it's not a model of a hubcap. It's my own hubcap. Well, now it's my new... There it is. Isn't that nice? Car Strippers Incorporated. See, there's lots of uses for this thing. I mean, I imagine. The gentleman who gave it to me will step up here. I'll show him a use for it. Right? Banging on his head. No, that's very cute. It's very filthy, too. We should clean these after you steal them. Who gave me this? You fellas? It's very nice of you to bring it back. It really is. Makes a nice hat, doesn't it? Buck Rogers in the 25th century. Bzzz. That's a pretty clever ad lib. Bzzz. Saves the writing material. What else could this be? Whoop. Got it stuck on my head. Could make an ashtray for pell-mell cigarettes. Oh, dear. Such dirty presents people bring. Well, your heart is in the right place anyway. It's in your mouth, I hope. I have another little thing here I want to open. There's a bag here, a little note on the outside of it. It says, the enclosed pendant from Mammoth Cave. Check on that before I read the rest of the note. Oh, isn't that cute? It's a pendant from Mammoth Cave, just like the fella said. It says, the enclosed pendant from Mammoth Cave is respectfully dedicated to the next loudmouth who interrupts you during your show. Bob Rogers. Where are you, Bob? Thank you, loudmouth. Oh, you were supposed to say something real loud, too, and then it would have gotten a laugh, wouldn't it? No, it's very nice. He held up his hand like a gentleman with a glove on it. That is very sweet. Where have you recently come from Mammoth Cave, Bob? You passed through. Uh-huh. How are the rest of the bats? Are they still back? That's a nasty thing to say. I'm very mean, I guess. That's really nice. What was he raised? Oh, Kentucky. I see. You're not proud of Kentucky or what? Well, where are you from?
Washington.
Oh. Well, anyway, that's no time for politics. I just thought I'd ask. Hey, did any of you people see the Milton Berle show on television tonight? Quite a few of you did. It was a wonderful program, as it always is, for that matter, every Tuesday night. But there's one thing I found very significant about Burrell's show tonight. He had three midgets on it. Did you see them? Weren't they cute? The little girl and then the two fellas, and then they danced with a... What do you call a regular person? There must be a name for us. We're not letting the midgets put anything over, you know. I'll kick those little... They can't get away with that. They're pulling something. They've been going to the dictionaries and cutting words out. Tell Frank Colby to make up a word. Anyway, he had these three little midgets on his program tonight, and as I say, that to me was the most significant thing that's happened in television for the past 4 years, because they finally got people just the right size for those little screens, you know? And I'm holding auditions out in my garage tomorrow afternoon. I want all the midgets to come out, and I'm auditioning talented midgets, and I'm going to have the biggest show on television. I may have to lie down and look right into the camera to get on it myself, but I'll do it. Speaking of things of interest to people in the theatrical line, I have a copy of Variety here, Daily Variety. That's the Bible of show business, or whatever you want to call it. Very thin, but it comes out once a day. That's the way it goes. Anyway, there's a story here on page one. Says, Jolson CBS, an exclusive deal. That means that Al Jolson will also be on CBS very soon. Let me see here. Al Jolson and CBS yesterday closed deal. They couldn't say A? I don't know. Al Jolson and CBS yesterday closed a deal. I'll ad-lib that in there. Whereby Singing Star will be exclusive to the network for guest shots on radio and television for the next 2 years, with option on Singer's part for one additional year, and then he'll have his own program and stuff. I feel very proud. I think I brought this about. But I'm crazy. Because I never brought anything about. No, I think they were already cooking it up. And here again, I'd like to thank you folks for all your wonderful letters about that particular program the night Al was on with us here. And for all your nice letters in general. And while I'm on the subject, I'd like to say that if you have written to me and haven't received an answer, that's because I haven't written you one. And the only reason I haven't is because I'm way behind in answering mail. I'm real busy now, and I have a part-time secretary. The rest of the time, she's a car hop. And I guess that would only be funny to another car hop, if not another secretary. But anyway, she's very busy, and I'm busy. We can seldom get together. She says, let's dictate Tuesday night, and I'm doing something Tuesday night. Anyway, we can't get it. We're weeks behind, and so eventually you'll receive an answer if you're waiting for one. If you're not, you'll probably get one anyway, but that's the way it goes. Let me see here now. What else was I going to mention? Oh, yeah, something else in Variety. I don't know how many of you people read it. I don't suppose very many of you, percentage-wise, but this is, as I say, as a paper, a publication which show people read, and anytime you want to get a message across to other people in show business, you put it in Variety rather than in the Tehachapi Times or something like that. And there's an ad in Variety tonight that says, it's, I guess, put in by Cyrus. It says, Gary Cooper says, Victimone is swell. I don't know why that strikes me funny, but it does. And I always expect to turn the page and see another ad that says, Victimone says Gary Cooper is swell. And then turn one more page and they're engaged to be married, you know? But if more people in this town thought that other people were swell, that would be grand. Now then. Oh, I have a note here. This is from Pat Hogan. You all know who Pat Hogan is, don't you? Thank you, Mrs. Hogan. Anyway, he is, you all know, except people that just got in town. He's the radio editor of the Los Angeles Examiner. I'll read to you for a minute. It's finally come to Los Angeles. The dazzling and spectacular Harvest Moon Dance Contest at Pan Pacific Auditorium on November 18th. You'll see the finest jitterbuggers in the Southland in red-hot competition for fabulous prizes. The finest rumba, samba, tango, foxtrot, and waltz dancers. Two top bands, plus exciting variety acts and celebrities from the motion picture industry. And here's a tip. Are you ready? Buy your tickets now. What a tip. On sale at all mutual ticket agencies and Southern California Music Company at reasonable prices. It's all for charity, by the way, so all kidding aside, you can have a wonderful time for yourself. The question that faces the House tonight, before we go any further... Let me see, where was that? Oh, my goodness, I lost my place. And the book is 479 pages long. Card games, calamities, buildings, books, authors... Wait a minute. There's something. Can water buffalo survive entirely on land? The affirmative tonight will be... Would you like to know? You may leave the room if you don't. Although it is true that the water buffalo is very fond of water and remains near it as much as possible, it can live quite easily without being in water. It must have water to drink, like all other animals. Do you know that a water buffalo drinks other animals, isn't it? It must have water to drink, like other animals. But lying in water is a matter of comfort. And not of sustaining life. Well, so much for that. It's time now for you to meet a gentleman. I don't know what I am, but I want you to meet a gentleman. And, no, I want to play the piano for you for a minute, because if I don't do it now, I'll forget. Oh, what are you laughing at? So I don't plan anything, that's all right. I don't even know what I'm going to play, but I'll think of something by the time I sit down. I thought of something. I thought of standing up again. Want to turn on this other mic, Joe? Wait till I wipe all the axle grease off my hands here from the hubcap. You know what my oldest boy used to call hubcaps? Have you noticed that, well, to this very day, every so often I learn how to pronounce a new word, and I think in all of us in our speaking vocabularies have the words we mispronounce. And, of course, the older you get, the fewer words are in that particular little bundle. But to get a little back into the subject, not so deep here, one of the last words that Stevie has had trouble with is the plural of hubcap. And he's all right with him now, although he very rarely has occasion to use the term, since he found he couldn't pawn the things. But he used to call them habscops. And then he called them scab hops. These aren't jokes. These are hubcaps I'm talking about. But he really did. He called them habscops and scab hops, hobscaps, skeeb hoops, Tune in tomorrow at the same time for another chapter in the life of Stevie Allen, Boy Habscop. Oh, me. Here's a song that Vic Damone has brought back. I'll put a stop to that right now by playing it. Thank you.
There's another thing I heard this evening. I was watching KTTV. And when they take station breaks on television, they play music. They don't do that on the radio. And it sort of annoys me because I enjoy it and I can never hear enough of the songs they play. Usually they're pretty nice records. They play about 19 seconds of them. That's the way disc jockey shows used to be years ago. Tonight they played a thing and it took me about, 30 seconds to think of the title. I can't remember all of it. I'll just play enough and see if you can remember the name of it. Big hit about, 15 years ago. Remember that? They call Moon Song. I don't know all the colors. That's wrong. Well, I want to introduce this fella now. This big song now, as you know, is Mule Train. And, any birds in the house? Or just picked up a salt shaker on stage. I'll find out why later. Waitresses at Brits are getting very careless. So is the cashier. Anyway, Mule Train is sweeping the country, which is somehow just, I suppose. And one of the biggest records of the number is the one recorded by this fellow here. I want you to meet him in all his hirsute glory. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Tennessee Ernie. Huh? Let's hear it. Hello, Ernie.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Brought one of your fans, huh?
Just the man that sets alone, ain't it?
Yeah. Beginning to see why. What do you got in the bag, fella? Nothing. You'll be alone from now on. That's all right. I won't bother you. Ernie, we got a special mic and table for you. I forgot to tell you that. You want to sit down and be comfortable? Yeah. Boy, those are pretty boots.
Texas boots.
They're Texas boots. Why don't you wear your own boots? Now, what's Tex going to say when he finds out you're wearing his boots, huh?
He's got the same size foot I have. Right?
Well, that's oak with me.
Oak.
Yeah, I don't know, ash or cherry wood or something. Let me see the tops of those things. Boy, those are beautiful. Green and orange.
No, that's yaller.
Yaller, huh? Yeah, it is. I'm a little colorblind.
Are you?
I'm blind. No, I'm all right. That's an old joke. Boy, those are pretty. Where'd you get those?
Fort Worth.
Uh-huh. What's the other Fort Worth thing? No, 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 please, no, no! There'll be more. I mean, you'll wear yourself out if you start that. What size do you wear, Ernie?
Twos. Two cowhides.
No, that was not. That was a much better joke than mine, and you just sat there, you see. While you're
no,
on.
They're nines and a half.
Is that all?
Yeah.
They look big. How high do they go?
Well, that'd be telly.
I guess it would. Ernie, now let's talk about your beard. How long have you had it? Oh, about 3 feet.
Well, I see you got to be quick around here. About a week and 2 days ago, I went up to Utah and went deer hunting. Uh-huh. I didn't shave.
Oh?
I ain't shaved yet.
Well, I figured as much, but I... Is it a result of... Oh, is it a result?
Is it as a result of a bet?
No. I'm trying my best to look like a mule skin.
Oh, you're making personal appearances.
Yes, and it itches.
It itches?
It itches.
Oh, we better play it then in a minute or two. I don't think that would be a bad idea anyway right now. Well, it's about time for music to sort of take away the taste of the piano playing there. And this is, I don't know, I mean, musical taste is musical
taste. I like your piano playing.
You keep out of this.
Thanks, Joe. You really play that applause record good there. That's, he brings that in at a moment's notice as it wound up. Ernie, I think I haven't heard every record of Mule Train, and I have so many friends and so many enemies in the music business that I don't want to go right ahead and say, this is the best record. But by golly, this record has a beat. A real that not very many of the records have, I'll tell you that, especially in the second chorus. How'd you get that beat? I mean, mechanically speaking, what is it, a bass up close to the mic or what?
Yeah, that's one thing, and one guitar was worked real close to the mic to get the beat on. You mean on the little bridge?
Yeah.
That's the one.
Well, I said this record has a great beat. Let's listen. Why am I talking so much? Here it is, Tennessee Ernie's Mule Train. Tennessee Ernie's.
Clopping over hill and plain. Seems as how they never stop. Clippity clop, clippity clop, clippity 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 clopping along. Mule train. Mule train. Clopping along the mountain chain. Soon they're gonna reach the top. Clippity clop, clippity clop, clippity 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 clopping along. There's a plug and chaw to back their fur miner in Corona. A guitar for a cowboy way out in Arizona. A dress of calico for a pretty Navajo. Get along. Get along. Mule train.
Get out.
No, is that right?
Mule train. Lippity clopping through the wind and rain. Drop, clippity clop, clippity clop, clippity 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 clopping along. There's cotton thread needles for the folks way out yonder. A shovel for the miner who left his home to wander. Some rheumatism pills for the settlers in the hill. Get along. Get along.
Clippity clop, clippity clop,
clippity 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 clopping along. Mule train.
Yeah.
Did you ever pop a whip?
You ever whip a pop? That's much more difficult. Well, that way, in case anybody tuned in late, you were just listening to Jab 341 on the Sumatra label. No, that was Tennessee Ernie. The reason for the big laugh here was, I don't know. But I got an 18-foot length of microphone cord here that's probably able to lacerate the faces of the first eight rows.
You ain't got no popper on the end of it.
Well.
You need a little piece of silk on the end of that, and it'll just pop like everything.
Maybe everything isn't popping these days, though. That ever occurred? Hey, I got a joke. Not yet, but it's coming. You know the difference between an American bullwhip and an English bullwhip? And the American bull, this is the old motorcycle joke with a switch. See, the American bull whip goes pop, pop, and the English one goes pip, pip. I think that joke was originally written about popcorn. English popcorn, American popcorn, there's motorcycles, now bull whips. Well, Tennessee?
Yeah.
How did you happen to come across that song?
I was called on the telephone at 11 o'clock at night the night before I left for Utah. I said, I don't want to record. I'm tired.
You're what?
Tired.
I didn't think they did that anymore.
Tired.
I thought the pillow interest put a stop to that. I mean, great shortage of feathers. There's no go ahead.
I was tired.
You were pooped.
Too tired. I was what? We better quit while we're ahead. I'll go.
All right, you were tired.
I was tired. And I was too tired to build a fire. And that night.
Oh.
Because I had to drive 19 hours the next day. But that's got nothing to do with it. They said, come down, we got a song.
Oh.
I said, why don't you come over here? I got one over here.
And who are they?
Capitol Records.
Oh, them.
Say it again, will you?
Oh, them. Oh, you mean...
Capitol Records. Capitol Records. So I went down at 11 o'clock that night and recorded the song. Very happy now that I did.
Aren't you tired, though?
Awful tired.
Hey, I got some real disgusting news for you. This is KNX. It's time, you know, to put that in there. We got 50,000 watts... And,
50,000 watt?
I'll tell you, Costello. 50,000 watts and 1070 kilocycles. You know what a kilocycle is?
No.
That's about what it is, all right. A kilocycle's... a kilocycle is a little cycle that got killed, and it's a sort of a motor.
Well, poor little thing. Must have been tarred.
Yeah. Topped again. Anyway, it's 12:34, and we played a record, by golly, and it was really... It's going like hotcakes, isn't it?
Well... Is hotcakes going pretty good?
Oh, they're popping like everything.
I hope so.
Ernie, wait.
I bought one of them.
Like hotcakes?
Say they do look like hotcakes.
Like the kind they serve at Coffee Dan's, yeah. With a hole in the middle for the butter to run back under the table.
KNX Los Angeles.
Oh, don't let me forget, Ernie, to go down and talk to that cute little girl in the second row. I just heard her cackle.
I thought of that before you did, I think.
She sure is pretty.
Funny.
Well, let's get a little background about you, Ernie. Where are you from originally?
From Tennessee, East Tennessee.
Oh, that's right. Tennessee, Ernie, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, look, Tex. When did you start entertaining, singing?
You mean the... So, well, what do you mean?
I can write it down for you.
What? You mean in figuring on getting paid for it or otherwise?
Well, let's not bring that up. But, well, yeah, have it your way.
Now I'm more confused. Oh, I started in the radio business in 1937.
Uh-huh.
As a staff announcer.
Where?
Radio station, can I say?
It's too late now. Sure.
WOPI in Bristol, Tennessee.
That's a pretty horrible name for a radio station.
They had 50 watts and one turntable.
That's better than 50 turntables and one watt, I guess.
Yeah.
Although not much. You couldn't segue much, could you?
Not too much, no. Well, there's a little pause in between, but you can usually...
Uh-huh. And how long did you announce back there?
I was there till 1939. Mm. I went to Atlanta then for a little while. And,
and when did you
get
out?
I didn't go there.
And that's when you raised the beard, is that right?
No. The funny thing happened to me while I was down in Atlanta.
What's that?
I went down by the big place down there that's got the big high fence, you know, the whole thing. And I borrowed somebody's movie camera. And I was having a ball. I was just taking pictures all the way around. Up walked some great big broad-shouldered guy with all guns all over him and stuff. And he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm taking pictures." He said, "You are?"
That's a pretty catchy thing to say.
Yeah, he really come back with that and quick. And he said, "Let me see your camera."
Uh-huh.
And he took it away from me. And he opened it.
Yeah. And exposed
that
the...
That blamed idiot began to strain the film out. Like that, just pulling it out and said, "Well, you got some pretty good pictures." Daylight, you know, and he got the whole roll. I found out it was against the law.
Right smack?
Just smack. I got tired of that fella. Tell me what. So I went to Atlanta, worked there for a year, and then went back to Knoxville, Tennessee. And then I felt the hot breath of the draft on the back of my neck.
It's a contradiction of terms, but it puts over the story.
Mm-hmm. I enlisted.
Oh. What were you in?
Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in there in the airships for 4 years.
Uh-huh.
And then I was discharged.
Uh-huh.
And then I went out to San Bernardino.
You have friends out here?
Hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm getting awful dull. Go ahead and ask me something else.
No, this program is like that. It goes
up. I went out to San Bernardino, but I married a San Bernardino girl.
What's her name?
Betty.
Well, what's your last name, Ernie?
Ford.
Ford.
Hmm. Ford.
I guess her name is Betty Ford, then.
It is now.
What was it before?
Let's see. Heminger.
Heminger.
Yeah, Heminger.
Oh.
Well, it's spelled with an E. You'd call it Heminger, all right.
No, I wasn't,
You getting tired?
I'll tell you, ever since I started doing this afternoon show...
Hey, tell us about your afternoon show after I get through telling all about me, will you?
Yeah.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. So, I got married. That's about all.
Hey, you're working at KXLA now, aren't you, too?
Pasadena, yeah.
How's Alex doing out there?
Fine. Just fine.
That's good.
Good boy.
He is a good boy.
That's it. That's fine.
What time's your show on, Ernie?
9 to 10 every morning. The 9 to 10 has got a record.
Oh, you play records?
Mm-hmm.
You're a Western disc jockey.
That's right.
Golly.
And, little this and that, and work with Hometown Jamboree, Cliffy Stone.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty good. You folks got anything you'd like to ask Tennessee Ernie here?
No.
Well, that was quick.
Thank you, Jimmy Wakely. Ernie, one thing I'd like to ask you to do.
What's that?
Boy, you sounded real vicious on that record. Go left. Make that noise for me there like you did on the thing there. Hee-haw, whatever you
mean holler at the mule?
Yeah, holler at the mules.
Holler at the mules.
Yeah.
I'm getting the mood. I ain't got no... Whoop.
I can get a couple of jackasses for you. You two That's people me. In the front row.
Two of you stand up out there, will you?
Right. You want to put all this microphone cord in your hand there?
Yeah, that's
you can
that.
Swing that out and...
Help out!
It sure is.
I used to do that, you know.
Just that?
Well, there was mules there, too.
Oh, I see.
See, I meant to ask you, can you say mule?
The way you do it?
Mule. My granny, he just about... Well, a lot of people say, can you say mule? And I say mule. I said, no, say mule. And I say mule.
The fools. The idiots.
I asked somebody if they can say grass, and they'll say grass. I said, say grass. And they say grass.
That's a lot of grass.
That's the difference. In
but you need it if you got a
lot. I have a lot of fun out of that.
Yeah, grass.
No, grass.
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 Oh.
Well, don't let it confuse you. It means the same thing.
Maybe it doesn't. I mean, out here they call it grass. Maybe in Ernie, I mean in Tennessee, it's...
It's grass.
You can't afford Wheaties? Grass. How's that? Grass.
Grass.
You give me the original way again.
Grass.
That's in Webster. Now give me it your way.
Grass.
No, I mean, no, give me the other way then.
Grass. But they're like the same thing. You say, where are you going? They say, I'm going to the dance.
Dance?
But they mean they're going to the dance.
Grass? Grease?
Grass. Dance.
Grass dance. So we leave the island of Hawaii, where the grass dancers...
I'm having a lot of fun down here.
You are, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I am, too. I don't know...
I've heard you a lot of times.
I've been on a lot of times. How many times you heard me?
Not as many times as you've been on.
Who has? He who's? Who is?
I was in there listening a minute ago.
You were out here a minute ago. I got news for you.
Am I jabbering too much?
No, but I was just calling you short there. I mean,
oh.
Hiya, short. No, what were you doing?
I was listening to you play the piano a minute ago, and you sure can play.
Yeah.
You sure can. I mean it.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
Don't get sore.
Well, I'm not sore, but I mean, I like the way you play the piano.
Well, that's nice. I'll play something for you after the show, all right?
All right. How long have you been playing the piano?
Oh, about 5 minutes, I guess. Oh, you mean in the long run?
Well, yeah.
Well, about 10 minutes. No,
well, you said a while ago, I've got a joke.
Yeah, set it up and tell it.
Well, let's see. It goes, that's an old joke. Let's don't tell it. But you told one. I thought I'd tell one.
Go ahead.
Can I?
Oh, you must now. You're leaving us up.
I got a brother that... Oh, this is awful.
No. I got to hear it.
I got a brother that got killed by a weasel.
How could your brother get killed by a weasel? I'll play straight for you.
That was just the thing you ought to say, too.
I know. I wrote the joke. Go ahead.
Listen to the Milton Berle show. I got a brother that got killed by a weasel.
Don't be silly, Ernie. How could your brother get killed by a weasel?
He was on the railroad track and didn't hear the weasel.
Well, Ernie, it's shire. Anything left? It sure was nice of you to...
Sure, that's what you do to sheep. After you dip them.
I don't dip no sheep.
You'll have the sorriest batch of sheep as anybody in Southern California if you don't dip them.
I wouldn't dip them or dupe them or do anything to them.
Didn't you ever see them dip sheep?
Only thing I ever dip is a donut.
That's dunk.
Well, then I'll dunk a sheep.
Well, you don't dunk sheep. You dip sheep and dunk donut.
Well, and...
You know why you dip sheep? It's not the same reason you dunk donuts.
Oh, it's a matter of taste, I suppose.
Well, I'll tell you, a dip sheep don't taste good.
It all depends on what you dip it in.
Yeah.
You dip it in
the... I finally said it.
You dip it in a bunch of donuts. Let's get into a...
I think know why you dip sheep don't... Boop.
Whoop. No, why do you ship deep? Or deep sheep.
Dip sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see, sheep... Sheep eat grass, and,
That makes them tired, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes them a little tired, and, but
like sheep.
Little things in the grass that gets on the tarred sheep, and you got to dip them in the stuff that you don't dunk donuts in to make them, you dip them in the stuff, and it,
What is the stuff? It's called...
It's a mixture of battery acid and stump water or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I've had that. It's postum, I think.
And they run them down a little old ladder, and they fall into the stuff, and they swim up the other end, and they climb out, and they're pure again.
I'll be darned.
And then you got to share them.
Oh, sure.
That gets back to what you said.
And I wish I hadn't. Is anybody taking this down? Well, bring it up. Well, that's pretty good. Learning?
Hmm?
He has a powerful set of whiskers there, hasn't he?
I want to thank you for... I'll butt in as much as I can.
Well, go ahead and thank me.
What's the matter? Smoking? I want to thank you for playing my record.
Well, I want to thank you for making the record so I can play it.
Well, now what am I supposed to
do? You're supposed to go out and make another record. Because I got to get lots of thanks, you know. This is a pretty thankless job here.
And to congratulate you on a very fine radio show.
Well, there's people like you who help make it fine, if it is, Ernie.
Well, thank you. A good bunch of people, because it's late, too, lots of them.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's good.
Well, some of these people, there's fungus on them.
Why?
This fellow rooms here. He's here every night.
This fella?
Yeah. He's here every night.
His eyes bugging out for some reason. What?
I don't know. That's bug eyes there.
Bug eyes?
Yeah. He's going to be featured in Dick Tracy's.
Does he always sit there?
No, sometimes he sits there. But
All right. Does he sit there all the time?
Yeah.
You mean he's here every Tuesday?
Yeah, he's in here quite often.
He is?
He's a writer for Burl. He has a little pencil there and a bottle full of sheep dip, and he just...
sheep dip.
Transcribing the notes. Well, Ernie, I want to thank you for moseying in to the old corral tonight.
Yeah.
Because it sure was arty of you or something to come
sure
in.
Sure was fought.
I don't know. I was a little confused.
Well, I was just tickled to death to know that I'd get to come down here and see you.
Who tickled you? Alex Cooper?
Alex Cooper. Pick up a... What does he pick up? Pick up a... All right. So you listen to Alex Cooper.
Yep.
It's sure quiet in here, ain't it?
Well, sir... As the sun slowly slowly... Ernie, I want to thank you very much for moseying into the old corral tonight.
For the third time, you're welcome.
And you've been here three times now, you know.
I've moseyed all over this place, ain't I?
You're the moseyest son of a gun that I ever moseyed the mosey with. Well, Ernie...
You're welcome.
Stay right there. Stay there. You add something to this show. I don't know. Well, it's time to step down into the sheep dip. I mean, into the snake pit now.
You want me to stay right here?
Yeah. I figure that's the safest place for you.
Well, all
no,
right.
That's as good as any. And you know how good any is.
Where are you going?
Well, I was just going back here for a little while. Wait a minute. I got all twisted around the curtain. There's be a nice song title, wouldn't it? Twisted Around the Curtain. There's a woman here. And then there's a woman over here. There's a couple of women in the back. There aren't very many women here tonight, but there's one here, and her dress caught my eye. That's the one that's bleeding here, you see. It's the points on the collars. What would you call that? Remembering, of course, that this program goes into the home.
I guess it's bright turquoise satin.
And how long have you been sitting in it? Or, I mean, how long has it been sat in?
Well, I sat at the opera for about 4 hours.
Well, that's fine. Thank you for kicking it around with me. That's bright turquoise blue, huh?
I guess.
You guess. What do they call this when Esther Williams wears that shade? Isn't there another name for it? MGM Aqua or something like that. It's some other shade they have for it. Anyway, it's a bright, vibrant... I've got to put this in my pocket here. It's a sort of a shocking blue, an electric blue. It looks very much like Esther... The water that Esther Williams swims in, that's what this looks like. You got to dry that off, you know. Where did you buy that?
I bought the material at the Broadway.
You made this yourself?
No.
Oh. What happened between the time you bought the material and it was made?
My aunt made it.
And where were you at the time?
That she made it?
No. The time the Tennessee Ernie cut mule train.
I was right here.
Well, that's fine. Who's this gentleman?
My husband.
Well, that's good. And what's your name?
Parker, Kenneth Parker.
Parker Kenneth Parker. That's a very odd name. This is Mrs. Parker Kenneth Parker? What's your first name, dear?
Mine's Adeline.
Adeline, that's a cute name. Well, it's nice to meet you folks tonight, and thanks for coming in. Now then, we have three young ladies here, and what do you girls constitute? A canasta team or what? Oh, really? What's your name?
Helen Upper.
Helen what?
Upper.
Upper. You work for Dr. Cowan, do you? Come, come, my dear. I want you to tell me your hopes, your dreams, your telephone number. What do you do, Miss Upper?
I go to UCLA.
Mm-hmm. What are you planning on?
Being a Spanish teacher.
And how many Spaniards do you want to teach? What do you want to teach them, by the way?
Spanish.
That'll get you nowhere. Who are you? If you say you're lower, I'll kill you.
I'm Dorothy Upper, her sister.
You're Dorothy Upper. Well, this puts you on the spot, you know. From the standpoint of timing. Who are you now, the third girl?
Marguerite Rogers.
Marguerite Rogers. That's fine, Marguerite. Thanks for breaking it up. You three girls are old friends?
Yes.
Which of you is the oldest? I mean, which of you... What does that mean? Well, it's nice to have you here tonight. Now, why are you here? That's the best reason I know of. I wish everybody came in to do that, and it's very nice to meet you. Well, look who's here, ladies and gentlemen. Another fellow all by himself. No, this is the one and only Cliffy Stone. Yes, sir. There he is. Who's that? Who's that? That's Cliffy Stone. Who do you think? Do I know that?
Favorite personality, Tom Hanlon. Isn't that Tom Hanlon?
No, that's Fatty Arbuckle. That is. Tom, is Tom in there? No, he isn't here tonight. Well, this is a picture of an old Hal Roach, our gang. 1928. That may be Tom.
Yeah, I believe it is, but it's
I'll check. It is nice looking, isn't it? Yeah. Uh-huh. Woo, bye. Cliffy, you're connected right now out with KXLA, too, and you're also doing lots of other things. You run barn dances, don't you?
Yes, sir. That's right, Steve.
Where are they being staged right now?
Well, we got a little thing out at El Monte on Saturday nights.
Is it very hard? I mean, speaking from the standpoint of a structural engineer, is it very hard to make a barn dance?
Well, no, not unless if you got a maybe 1,500 or 1,600 people in it, it'll generally jump.
I guess that's right, and thanks for coming up with a very intelligent answer to a very stupid question. Cliffy, it's nice to have you here tonight. You and Ernie came in together, I guess, didn't you?
Well, he's kind of bashful among crowds, so I brought him over.
Oh. He doesn't like to talk or anything. Does he? Oh, dear, what am I laughing at? Who are you?
I'm Bob Rogers.
Oh, yes, you're the gentleman with the Mammoth Cave, who came in from Kentucky. That's right. Well, how recently did you go through Mammoth Cave, Bob?
Steve, that was about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And who's this gentleman with you?
I don't have the vaguest idea.
I see. And how long has it been since you creep out of the cave?
I didn't creep.
You didn't creep. You sprung. Ah, you sprung, you. What do you do, sir?
Oh, I'm starting to be an actor.
An actor? And, who is that? What's your name, in case your mother's listening?
Tom.
Tom. You're the Piper's son, are you? Or Hanlon's son, or Edmondson, or something? Who are you, sir?
Wheaton Chambers.
Wheaton Chambers. Make up your mind. You can't be both, you know. You're going to be Wheat or you're going to be Chambers.
Well, I happen to have two family names all together.
Well, if you can afford two families, it's perfectly all right. I tried it last year. They put me in. Look, what do you do, Mr. Chambers?
I'm an actor.
Gee, the place is empty tonight, isn't it? What do you do? Miss Upper? Which joke are you working on now?
We passed it up long ago.
We passed it long ago. I see. Well, I'll explain it to you after the show. What are you acting in? You look very familiar, Mr. Chambers. Do you work in pictures?
Yes. Matter of fact, this reason why I'm here, we're rather late on The Baron of Arizona that just started.
Oh, yes, now that it comes back to me, I've seen your face on the screen many a time. Would you like to stand up so all the tourists from Iowa can get a peek at you and say they've seen a movie actor? This is Mr. Wheaton Chambers from Iowa. Or, I mean, from Arizona. How is the Baron these days?
Well, it just started. We had a very nice, long session, but I think it's going to be a wonderful picture.
I've heard a great deal of talk about it, and I wish you lots of luck in the world. That's an intelligent thing to say. Who are you?
Nettie.
And who are you? Nutty? Nutty and Nutty, the jugglers. What do you do, sir?
Studio mechanic.
Studio mechanic. One of the picture studios?
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
Columbia.
Columbia. What's the current production over there you're working on?
I don't know. I just build sets.
Oh, you just build sets. You never go see the pictures. Oh. I'll never forget. I was sitting behind a guy. Remember the picture, Tokyo Joe. Oh, you worked on that. You weren't behind me that year. Van Johnson was in that picture. Remember this big scene where... No, I'm thinking 30 seconds over Tokyo. I'm sorry. Anyway, you know, the big finale thing. They have this bombing of Tokyo. It was done with a wonderful set. I mean, miniatures with the things going off. The kid who built that was sitting behind me. I didn't enjoy the picture. He kept saying, now watch when it flies over this little building here. Boom, it's going... Watch this flash powder now as he comes around the river. All through the picture. It turned my stomach. I walked out. But then my stomach is a little awkward anyway. However, it's nice to talk to you, Joe. Your name again?
Bert.
Bert. Bert who?
Noss.
Bert Knott. Noss. Bert Noss. Bert Moss. Bernd Moose, huh?
Noss, N-A-U-S.
Oh, N-A-U-S. And that's a fine organization. Uh-huh. Everybody should belong to the N-A-U-S. Your name and serial number, please.
Gene Redland.
Jim Reynolds?
Gene.
Your name? I mean, what about it? What do you do?
I build radio antennas.
Sort of a lazy man's job, isn't it? I mean, what can you build about a radio antenna? It's just a big pole goes up in the air. What do you do, put the little knob on the end or something?
I manufacture them for Master Mobile.
For Master who?
Mobile.
Master Mobile. Who is he, some tycoon?
That's my boss.
Sounds like a character in Dick Tracy. Here comes Master Mobile. Who are you, sir?
Johnny Green.
Johnny, I've enjoyed your music. You're not the... Which Johnny are you?
No, that's not the one.
I want you to come out in front of the building and step out of a store window for me. No, you couldn't be that Johnny either. What do you do, Mr. Green?
I'm a tool maker.
Uh-huh. What tools do you ordinarily make, sir?
Oh, mostly automatic dies. Sheet metal work.
Mm-hmm. For what firm are you with? What firm are you with? What firm do you work for?
O'Keefe and Merritt Stove Works.
Oh, yeah. Well, you just keep tapping away there, and you'll be all right. That's a little joke in the stove industry, for people who have little stoves. Howdy, Tex. Boy, did I surprise him. You got to stop working on your income tax. What is your name, sir?
Townsend.
Yeah? What do you do, Townsend?
Studio driver, MGM.
Studio driver. Uh-huh. How many studios do you drive in the average day?
They drive me.
Crazy?
What?
Huh?
What?
It's good timing, huh? What? You drive... Oh, it's time to get off the big fat air. Isn't that awful? Oh, dear.
Howdy.
Howdy yourself, dear. It's nice to talk to you. Well, it's time to crawl back into this big box with the hubcaps in it. Go away. How'd you... do there, Ernie?
I'm tired.
Well, I'm a little tired myself. Just while I want to get one little mention here for all the people who've been writing in the last couple of years and saying, wish I could come down to see your program, but I can't because it's on too late and they lock the gate after 11 o'clock. The thing is on in the afternoon now at 2:15, about the same general idea. And for this afternoon program, you need tickets, but there's always a no-ticket line. You can get in, I promise you. If things get bad, I'll begin warning you. Right now, you can get in without tickets if you want to. You can also get out without tickets. Ernie, I'd like to thank you an awful lot and wish your particular recording of Mule Train all the luck in the world.
Thank you, Steve.
And I want to thank you for helping out with the show tonight. You were a big help indeed. You people will realize, too. Give yourselves a great big hand. Huh? That's all we have for you tonight. Have yourself a real good night's sleep. Now I'll need you tomorrow night about the same time. This is Steve Allen saying we played a record the whole thing real square.
KNX Los Angeles. Tuesday, November the 8th, the citizens of California go to the polls to vote in a special election. It's a free election for free people on issues which are vitally important to all of us.